Yeah. Well, today we'll be in John 14, verse 6. As John 14, verse 6, it's good to once again to be up here with the sharing the gospel and sharing the message that was laid on my heart this week. And of course, we're kind of continuing the theme. The last 5 weeks we've been looking at progressive Christianity, and the Holy Spirit laid that on my heart, and we'll wrap it up today. The message on that is kind of like a teaching series, and my heart is to warn you guys, because I love y'all, of progressive Christianity and exactly what it is. And I'm going to share articles on our website, Fisher Baptist website, so you guys can be, you know, kind of continuously looking at that. And I pray, and my heart is burdened by the movement, and to warn you guys and to educate you guys so y'all will understand. I'm not trying to be judgmental. No, by no means. My heart goes out to those pastors and those preachers and those Bible teachers promoting it. They're my prayers. I wish I could talk to them, but I guarantee if I try to call them, they wouldn't talk to me because I'm a nobody in their eyes. That song by Casting Crowns, I'm a Nobody. I don't know if you guys heard that song. I love music. I love praise and worship. I'm nobody trying to tell somebody about Jesus. I may be a nobody in their eyes, but to my Heavenly Father, I'm somebody. And that's all that matters. If I preach to one or two or a million people, it doesn't matter. The message does not change with the crowd in the sense that I cater what I want to say. The Holy Spirit caters the message to whatever church I go to. He puts in steps while I'm going to preach. I don't ever try to lean on my own understanding when I'm typing these messages up and praying and travailing over them. It's all the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. As you guys bow, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come in your presence, with our hearts in our hands, we lifted them up to you. Wherever may be troubling us, what pain that we may be experiencing, what anxiety that we're feeling, what depression that's flooding our hearts, let's lay them at the cross. Knowing at the cross there's a peace and there's a joy. Within our time of troubles that we will experience in this life, knowing there's a comfort and knowing that you care so much for us. Even though we can't explain the things that happen in our lives, we know there's a purpose for all the pain. And knowing that this life is only temporary, it's so brief compared to eternity. We get so fixated on our little speck of life to realize this life, when it ends, for a child of God, is going to be a beautiful beginning of a life that we cannot even imagine how beautiful and how joyous going to be. Let's cling to that hope. You call that the blessed hope. through all the pain and through all the suffering, let's cling to that hope that's in Jesus, knowing that better days will come when we see You. And I pray those that have not truly opened their hearts to You, God, my heart plea for them today is reach out and grab Your hands and cling to that hope that will endure forever and ever. God, I pray that You be over this message. You guide and You direct the words that You need me to say. I pray, Lord, that You be over those that are on our prayer list. God, we lift them up to You. We know that You are in control and Your will be done within each and every situation. God, You are sovereign. You are control. You know the beginning to the end. And we give it all to You. We pray all this in Your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, when we look, and it's kind of recurring, I use the illustration as progressive Christianity as a train. And it's a good visual kind of thought on that. As a train, it's a popular train. Everybody's jumping on that train. And that train is heading straight down the track. And what we call, or what they would call, historical Christianity, true Christianity, is in the way. And they want to plow it over. They want to remove every speck of it. You will hear progressive Christianity called the new Christianity. The new, you'll hear the words like new age Christianity, new age spirituality. We are enlightened. The Bible does not have the final authority. We have the final authority, and that's what they will claim. And they pull away from Scripture. They pull away from Scripture. We were talking in our Bible study today about how, and we pray for our brothers, our the Catholic Church. I'm not judging them. My heart truly is burdened for those in the Catholic Church. And I believe there are people in there that are saved. But a lot of times, they don't want you to look at the Scriptures. And I want to encourage every one of you, and I've said this in time past, I'll say it until they lock me up, and I'll say it when I'm in prison, and then until they say, and we're done with that. He's crazy, because I am crazy for the Lord. The Word of God has the final authority. Every word that comes out of my mouth needs to be checked with Scripture. I am not opposing that. That is what you guys are supposed to do. And when you listen to any person in the pulpit, online, or popular, what I call the popular preachers or pastors today, any words that come out of their mouth needs to be checked with the Word of God. We are human. We can say things that are contrary to the Scripture. And the problem is when they don't want correction. When they think their knowledge is more, and they don't make errors. We are human. The Word of God is the final authority. Scripture is the lens that we should see everything through. And it's kind of what I want to hit on today. I got 3 points. I'll probably only get to two points today. And that third point can actually be taught in a whole different sermon. So what we're going to look at 3 points. The first is, Scripture is our path to truly understanding God's direction in our lives. Psalms 119, 105 says this. The psalmist says, the Word is a lamp upon my feet and a light unto my path. The Word is a lamp. my feet unto my feet and a light unto my path. I don't know if you guys, I like doing night walking. I don't know if you guys do that. You know, you go out there, it's dark, and you're just walking around. And we have spots in our road that are really dark. If you don't have a light, you don't know where you're stepping on. We were talking about snakes. You might step on a snake. He's just about his own business at night, and you're walking. You can't see nothing. You step on that snake, he's going to let you know that you just stepped on him. But if you have a light, a flashlight, and most cell phones today, they have a little light. You can actually use your cell phone as a light. But if you have a light source as you walk through that path or you walk at night, you can see where you're stepping. Even though it's dark, it's engulfing, that light lights the way. And maybe you don't do the night things. Just get into a room and turn off the lights. Mere darkness. And sit there. And then turn a light. Put your flashlight on. See, darkness engulfs us. This world engulfs us with darkness. But the Word of God through the Scripture is a light unto our path. Meaning we can see where we're stepping as we follow the Scriptures. The Word of God is our light source. Light source. John 1:14 said, "The Word was made flesh and dwell among us. And we behold His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and mercy, grace and truth." The Word made flesh, right? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was given to this world. He was the Son of God. He was the Word made flesh. He walked among this world. His light source was bright. When He encountered somebody, they were changed. They were changed. We should be like that. We should not let this world rub off on us. We are supposed to rub off on that world. A light source. You see, we can follow the teachings of Jesus through the Gospels, and we can know exactly how are we supposed to live our life on this world. It's not a great mystery. Start with Matthew and work your way to John, Luke. Everything's there on how to live your life among the lost and how to live a successful Christian life. But we have to abide in Him, which is lost today. John 15:1-10 says this: "I am the true vine, and my Father, He is a husbandman. Every branch in me that bear not fruit, He taketh away. Every branch that bear fruit, He purgeth, and that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I spoke unto you. Abide in me, I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abide in me, and I am him, the same bring forth much fruit." Much fruit. "For without me you can do nothing. If a man is not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and he will wither. He is withered. Man gathers them and casts them into fire. They are burnt. You are abiding me and my words abiding you. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Wherein is my Father glory, that ye bear much fruit, so shall be ye my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. For ye keep my commandments, shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Abiding. When we look at this movement, this false Christianity that's engulfing this world, is about abiding in Christ. They do not want to abide in Christ. They want to live a different life. They want to live a life that is different than... They want to live a life that is different from what we have, what they have coined as true Christianity. They don't want to live a life that speaks from the Scripture, so they move away from Scripture, and as here is our authority. A lot of times they say, well, you know, I like the way I'm living my life, even though it's immersed in sin. You will hear them not talk much about sin. You will hear them not talk much about hell. Because they want to live a life that is full of sin and say, we are still Christians. But it's contrary to Scripture. That is not abiding in Christ. When we abide in Christ, we walk differently. We don't act like that world. We are truly regenerated. We are truly on fire and have a passion for God regardless of our circumstances in His life. Our circumstances don't define us. God should define who we are. But they will tell you, oh, you will hear that term where they say you can keep it, you know, you don't worry about your sin. God loves you. He's going to love you in your sins. And we can call that what we would call it dirty grace. A sin card. Keep all sin and it's okay. The grace of God covers it all. Read of a pastor. And you guys may not know Hillsong. They're a false church, period. This one guy, he would hang out with his youth. And they would go, after he got done preaching, they would go to the bars and drink beer. Have a good old time. Later on, he was caught cheating on his wife. Everybody was shocked. Tell me, and then these guys, big church, all Christians, oh, we support that. Are you abiding in Christ? When you go out there and you blend into this world, when you look just like that world, you talk just like that world, you watch exactly what the filth that this world offers, are you abiding in Christ? When you don't restrain from immorality, but you embrace it, idolatry is what you want, you lift everything up above God, are you abiding in Christ? No, you are not. And Jesus tells those who don't abide in Christ, they are cut off and they are cast to the branches and they will withered and they will be destroyed. If you do not want to abide in Christ, you don't want to live a life that is different than that world, God honors that decision. You can call yourself wherever you want in the world. In the end, God will look at you and announce that judgment on your life. If you don't abide in Christ, you're not His. It's not what I'm saying, it's what the Word of God says. When you encounter sin, how does it make your heart feel? one of the psalms that I love, and I pray over, and I encourage you guys to pray over this psalm, just part of your daily prayer life, is Psalms 51, 1 through 17. It's a David psalm when he was caught with his sin with Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of tender mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and won this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when I speak, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was sharpened in iniquity, and my sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, I desire truth in the inward parts, and the hidden parts thou shalt make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. The bones which I have broken, the bones that you've broken, Lord, may rejoice. Hide my face from my sin. Blot out my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. And take not the Holy Spirit from me. Do you pray like that? Do you really pray like that? Sin should drive us to our knees. Create in me, God, a clean heart. If there are iniquity, sin in me, remove it. I don't want it. I want you to fill my life. I want to be different in that world. I want to stand on the word of God, regardless what this world tells me that is unpopular. I don't care when they tell me when the word of God does not have the final authority and they have a lower view of scripture. I want to stand on the word of God. I want to stand in the sight of my Father one day. And he said, well done, my good and faithful servant. Abiding in him is key. Turning away from our sins through repentance is the key. Acceptance of our lifestyle filled with sin is unacceptable to a holy God and a righteous God. If you want to live in that life of sin, then you will be judged in that life of sin. And you're okay with that. You don't want to repent. You keep walking in that path. You will. You will. Get your reward. Eternal damnation. The purpose of us on this earth, in this world. You guys may have heard of the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That is our commission. That is our purpose. Is to tell people about Jesus. That could be our mission field. Don't have to be over there in Africa. It could be at our work. It could be at our school. It could be at Walmart. It could be wherever place you're at. That can be your missionary field. You don't have to travel thousands of miles away. Thousands of miles, no. Fisher could be your missionary field. How many people out there today that are in their homes that probably don't know about Jesus? Waiting. There's a Matthew West song. He's a Christian artist. And in that song, he's presenting, God, why do you let this happen? And God, why do you let this happen? And do something about it, God. Do something, God. Do something. And God says, That's why I created you. You are supposed to be my hands. You are supposed to be my feet. But are we truly being the hands and feet of Jesus throughout that week and reaching those around us? Are we? I don't know where your life's at and what you're doing when you walk out these doors, but are you being the hands and feet of Jesus? Because that is our commission in life, is to be the hands and feet of Jesus, right? Are we? Are we just living to get by? Romans 12:1 said, "Be ye therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." That is your reasonable service. To offer your life, this small dot that we call life. You only have a short period of time on this earth. I know it may feel like long. I guarantee you it's not as long as eternity. We have a short time. James tells us it's a vapor. It's so brief. But we get so engulfed in our moments. We don't, and the devil just clouds our thoughts, that we don't get it. And that's how he wants it. He wants you to be engulfed in your pain and your suffering, to the point where years go by, time goes by, and next thing you know, it's over. It's over. And you squandered what God has laid for your ministry. Wow. That was the first point, so we're getting close to the... So... I'll briefly go into the... Well, I probably shouldn't do that. What I want to hit on, though, is this. Progressive Christianity is false. Now, an example that we can use here is, for instance, you guys may have heard this, every head bow, just repeat this prayer. Repeat this prayer. Father, I know I have broken the laws. My sins have separated me from you. I am truly sorry, and now I want to turn away from my past sin life toward you. Please forgive me. Help me avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead alive, and hears my prayers. I invite Jesus to become the Lord of my life and rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. Please send your Holy Spirit. Help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, you're all saved. It was that easy. No, it ain't that easy. Yes. Everything is true in that. But do you really believe in your heart and commit your life separate from that world? Have you counted the cost? Because there's a cost saying, truly, I do, God. Salvation, discipleship, they do not go separate. The progressive Christian movement will tell you, oh, that is separate. Salvation is separate from discipleship. I guarantee you, Jesus would disagree. He said, if you cannot be my disciple unless you deny yourself and pick up my cross and follow me. A man that's pushing out a plow and looking back, he is not worthy for the kingdom of God. That is Jesus speaking. Salvation, when you go into salvation and you accept Christ into your heart, your life is no longer your life. Your old self is dead. And you step into your new life. Quit going back to your old ways. The Holy Spirit should slap you upside your face if you do. If you don't feel the Holy Spirit slapping you up on your face, there's something wrong seriously with your heart. Step in your calling that God has laid on your heart and quit putting it off. We all have a calling. It could be simply at work. In closing, and trust me, I probably got another hour in me. I ain't gonna lie. I want so much to say, just not enough time to say. As we wrap this teaching series up, and I've been posting these on my website. I encourage you guys, y'all can go back and listen to them if y'all want. Remember that word, or words. Progressive Christianity. Progressive. New Age. You will hear these words if you haven't heard them on Facebook or... Because what happens is you got these popular preachers. And I've listed several names before. I think one of the most popular, and you guys may have heard of him. Boy, this guy, Stephen Furtick. I get so infuriated how much people just praise him. To show you how our nation is so confused on what it means to be a Christian. When we glorify that man and a bunch of others, I could go into a handful of them. Just on the popular. But what happens, you got these guys up top and the small, I guess how they would view us, small preachers on here. In God's eyes, nothing is small. If you preach to one or two, in God's will, is great as preaching to a million. So they will look, oh, look at that guy. He's just in that little church. He's small. We ain't going to worry about him. We got millions. He only got 20. Let me tell you. I know a man that only had 12. And he did pretty good. Amen. Wait a minute. That's Jesus, right? Wow. 12. And they changed the world, right? In Acts it said, give us these men that are turning the world upside down. We want to... Stop it. You can't stop the Word of God. You can't. Give me 12. I don't need a million. More the merrier. If your heart truly is committed to Jesus, you have counted the cost and you realize there's a cost to following Jesus, period. But you got to realize that cost is nothing compared to what is waiting for us. As we were saying earlier today, is when we go home, right? Home. We'll never, never, never grow old. Do you get that? We'll never grow old. We'll not age. We'll not feel pain. We'll not suffer anymore forever and ever and ever. Just a small period of our life that we have to endure suffering and pain. When we look at these progressive movements, let's recognize them for exactly what they are. They will trickle down to small churches. They already have. Good thing about people doing everything on Facebook Live, you can watch every sermon almost. It's sad that they don't even realize what they're doing. It allows me to watch, see exactly what they're preaching. I can watch 20 sermons in one day. Lets me really knowledge on what's preaching in our areas. And Vernon Parish, and Sabine, and Natchitoches, and Louisiana. Just in Louisiana. But you can branch off to other states. But we need to recognize this movement is real. We need to recognize the key today that we need to get in our mind that this is a false Christianity. It is a Christianity that moves away from Scriptures. That is the key. Scripture should be our final authority, not a man up here preaching. If he's preaching the Word of God, everything lines up with Scripture. Beware of those that don't focus more on Scripture. They're focusing more on humor, trying to entertain you, trying to make you feel comfortable. Be aware. Now, there's nothing wrong with humor. I like to laugh. But when they're trying to pull the entertainment more than the Word of God, there's a problem. One Scripture during a sermon, there's a problem. A sermon should at least have 5 Scriptures in there because we're pointing to the Word of God, not our authority. Only authority that we have is in Jesus. So when we're listening to anybody that is from another church to a popular pastor or Bible teacher, does it match with the Word of God? And the only way we know if it matches with the Word of God, we have to be children of God who are driven to study the Word of God. How much do you read your Bibles daily? We should read our Bibles daily. Do you have a passion and a fire to study the Word of God? Or it just feels like work? It should not feel like work. See, when you push away the Word of God and you listen to somebody and you're not studying the Word of God, you're going to fall for every deceptive trap they put out there because you're not studying the Word of God. And when they're pulling you away from Scripture, you're not even going to realize it because they have a lower view of Scripture. It's not the final authority. Entertain us. Entertain us. Don't tell us what we need to hear. Tell us what we want to hear. As we stand and have a verse or two of invitation, I want to encourage you guys. Examine your heart. Be like David. In Psalms 51, I encourage you guys to go back and read that. Incorporate that in your prayer life. Psalm 51. Just have a Bible and just read it in your quiet time. It only takes like 2 or 3 minutes to read it. And pray to God, where do you need my life to be? See, as long as there's breath in our bodies, we have an opportunity to repent and step in the path which God wants us to step in today.
Page 124. 124.